Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you, Jesus. It's a great joy and pleasure to be here today to get to bring the Word of God forth this day. And Lord, I pray that you have your way in our hearts this day, Lord, that we learn to walk with you, Lord, to get out of the head knowledge into walking with you, being filled with the fullness of your love. God loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. I looked up the word everlasting, and it means enduring forever. It means eternity. It means eternal duration, past and future. He's always loved us. He loved us before we were. He loved us from the moment we were conceived. When we come to know His love, then we can pour it out. Hallelujah. We can trust Him. When we know His love, we will walk in full obedience to Him. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us something that is so contrary to our natural mind. But when we're bathed in the knowledge of His love for us, it's easy to get out of the natural mind because He has our best interest in mind. He will never do anything to hurt us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Hallelujah. We cannot trust the natural mind. We cannot trust man. And it takes us years to understand this. But we can trust in the living God. To know Him is our quest. That's why we're here. To know God. God is love. And so to know God, we must seek to know the love of God. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. And Proverbs 10:12 says, love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers. We can love the unlovable. We can love someone in our family or in our church, even when they are operating in open sin, because love covers a multitude of sin. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And faith works through love. It takes love to operate in faith, because when we block the river of love flowing, it blocks faith, because God is love. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. We heard this over and over and over again in the 80s, in the beginning of the faith movement in Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing and understanding the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing and understanding the love of God, because God is love. God is His Word. All through His Word, it's about the love of God. It's about giving us hope. It's about He has a plan for the body of Christ. He has a plan for His people. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And we can hang on to that hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Love gives us hope. When we know He loves us and that He has a plan for us, then we have hope for our lives. Then when we have hope for our lives, we can have hope for the corporate body of Christ. We can understand that He has a plan for us together, as we're joined together to do a work that's greater than any of us can do alone. He's called us to join together to do a work in these end times. Hallelujah. Psalms 119:165 says, great peace have they who love thy law. Or you can substitute the word law for thy word. Great peace have they who love thy word. Great peace have they who love God. And nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. When we love God more than ourselves, we can overcome offense when we are wronged. Hallelujah. And we can walk in great peace when we walk in love and forgiveness. Because unforgiveness hurts us. It blocks our peace. It blocks our walk with God. Because we never have to forgive more than what we've been forgiven of. And each one of us would have crucified Jesus on the cross had we been alive when he was alive at one time or another in our lives, we would have been there for the crucifixion. And we need to understand that. And no one yet has hung us on a tree, naked, without clothes, and spit in our face. What we are required to walk in is just very little compared to what Jesus walked in, and he overcame because he stayed in the Spirit. And whatever we go through, if we stay in the Spirit, we overcome. It's not about having a perfect circumstance on this earth. It's about staying in the Spirit amidst life's tribulations. When we can stay in the Spirit, we have overcome. When we keep our eyes on him, and he is our promise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. Walking in love is staying in fellowship with God. When we're in fellowship with him, the seven spirits of wisdom can freely flow. In these end times, God wants us to go to him, not man. There was a time when we could lean on man. There was a time when we could have a problem and we could call our friend and pray the prayer of agreement and it was gone. But we are in life has become more difficult and more complex. We have got to learn how to turn to God and how to hear from God and how to tap in to the seven spirits of wisdom. The wisdom, the knowledge, the counsel, the might, the fear of the Lord, which allows us to walk in holiness. Because sin is bondage. Sin is opening the door to the enemy to take us out. Holiness is freedom. When we understand this, freedom is walking above that carnal realm, above the realm that gets pulled in, that gets pulled into these seducing spirits, that gets pulled into the wrong soul ties. You know, the enemy usually works through a relationship. I don't know any teenager yet that got involved in drugs without having a wrong relationship. And that's why it's so important. It's just so important to walk in holiness and to walk and to run with the right people. Birds of a feather flock together. And we are made, human beings are made to conform into our surroundings. And that's why it's so important to run with people of like mind and of like vision. And that's why Jesus sent people out in twos. We think we can tackle darkness on our own when we're young and we're on fire for God. But Jesus sent them out by twos because we are not as strong as we think we are. And that's why we need to use wisdom to stay in protective environments. Hallelujah. And just close that door to the enemy before it ever happens. He has made Jesus to be wisdom in us. Hallelujah. And Isaiah 52 says that he is awakening his people. He says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Hallelujah. It says that your people shall know the power of the name of Jesus in this day. He has given us a power. He's telling his people to wake up and understand that this power is for us, but we must tap into it. It doesn't come free and it doesn't come easy, but he promises to give us power to overcome. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love seeks not its own. Faith in God and selfishness do not mix. Jesus had no personal ambition, no personal ends to achieve. He was doing the will of his Father. John 4:34. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 6:38. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 8:29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And John 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. When we come to the end of ourself and the beginning of Him, there's no room for competition. There's no room for jealousy. Because what I'm called to do is not what you're called to do. No, there are no people exactly alike. There's no two fingerprints alike. There's no two snowflakes alike. That we need each other. I need what's in you. You need what's in me. And together we can accomplish what we have to accomplish. We can do the right thing with the wrong motive. And the Lord promotes us when the motive of our heart is correct. It's the wrong motive to do something to be seen by man. Jesus said, you already have your reward if you want to do something to show man that you did it. And another wrong motive is just to do something to be promoted by God. Because even if we're doing something secretly with the goal for God to promote us, we cannot fully accomplish what we're called to accomplish because our mind is on being promoted instead of what He's called us to do. To accomplish step A, it takes fully immersing ourselves in it before we can get to step B. He wants 100% of what we have to give Him. He doesn't want anything that we don't have. He's a just God. But we are not to hold anything back from Him. And anything we hold back from the Father is bondage. And when we can learn that, when we can get past our carnal nature enough and get bathed in the knowledge of His love enough, we can break the resistance that's inside each and every one of us. We're born with a carnal nature that resists the Father, that is independent, that thinks we know best. We need to break that inside of us through prayer, through fasting. We can go to His Word and we can pray these prayers for His love, for knowledge of His love. I have an amplified Bible here and I'm going to read you some of the prayers about the love of God. Ephesians 3:16-19. May He grant you out of the rich treasure of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ through faith dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely in love, that you may have power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints who are God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, that you may come to know through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ. He wants to be in our everyday experience. He wants to get outside of the church. He wants to even get outside of our prayer life. He wants to be in our lives. And the love of Christ far surpasses mere knowledge. He wants us to get past head knowledge. Head knowledge is not going to cut it in these end times. It's just the beginning. Putting the Word of God in your mind is just the beginning. He wants us to go deeper, deeper, deeper. He wants us to be so deeply grounded in Him that when we're facing a very terrifying situation, we can face it with peace. Because we're so grounded in a promise from God that what we see, hear, and feel doesn't move us. Hallelujah. That you may be filled through all your being, unto all the fullness of God. That is, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Isn't that awesome? And there's just three of these. Philippians 1 says that, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in the knowledge of all keen insight. That is, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, to recognize the highest and the best in distinguishing the moral differences, that you may be untainted and pure, unerring and blameless, with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, that you may approach the day of Christ not stumbling or causing others to stumble. We can be so bathed in the love of God that we can overlook another one's faults and understand, even though they have faults on the outside, there's treasures inside of them. They were created for eternal destiny, and it's in there. It's in there when we can see past the carnal nature. When we can love others with His love, we know His love is real. The Lord spoke to me, "You will know the measure of my love. You will know. I will know by the measure that I love others with His love." If I'm loving you with a false love, then I don't know the love of God. And that's another reason why we need to strive to love one another, because that's how we know it's real. And that's how we know He can love us. We know our faults. We know that we are imperfect. And if we can love someone else that's imperfect, then we can really understand that He can love us in our brokenness. Because we all have areas that are not complete yet. But I believe that when Jesus comes back, He's coming back to a spotless bride. And I believe that things are starting to happen faster. And that's why we're more and more accountable, and it's so important to be sensitive to Him each and every day. I believe that right now, it doesn't matter if you were saved yesterday or you've been saved 30 years. God is looking for people who are available to move in this new move of God in the realm of the miraculous. And you can be disqualified if you block this river of love or if you walk in disobedience. And I believe that there are people that are coming in right now. They're going to just move right into it. And we need to understand that we have the capacity to fall away. It doesn't matter if I've served God the past 30 years. I could wake up tomorrow and just get hard-headed and go my own way. And I need to understand that and keep my carnal nature under my feet. And He gives me power and dominion to bridle my tongue and to keep my carnal nature down. And we need to take care of home first, before we go out and try to tackle the city, before we go and be offended over our church body. We need to look inside here and get these things right first, you know. And what are we talking about? Are we talking to one another about the treasures and the revelation that God's showing us? Or are we talking to one another about who offended us yesterday? That's how we know how spiritual we are. What are we talking about? What are we thinking about in our everyday life? He says to keep our minds stayed on Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And there's one more, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. "For this reason also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, that is, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things, that you may walk, live, and conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, in desiring to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition." Hallelujah. And we just thank You, Lord, that we can go to these prayers and we can keep a freshness in our prayer life by having fresh experiences with God. We can keep our relationship with Him alive, and we can pray the prayers that are in the Word of God. But as we go on this journey, there are foxes that try to spoil the vine as we want to abide in Him. Hallelujah. When we abide in Him and His words abide in us, then we may ask what we will and it shall be done. So as we strive to abide in Him, there are little foxes that try to spoil the vine. Sometimes we can get out of patience, and faith works through patience. Hebrews 6:12. If we're not walking in patience, we are not walking in faith. We need to trust God to open those doors of promotion in favor. Self-promotion puts us on the front lines of the enemy unprotected. That's what it does. And we need to get to the point where we are so happy to support those in the front lines and pray for them, knowing our day is coming. But it's not something that we want to compete for and strive for, because the enemy is getting more and more active out there. We need to pray for those on the front lines and just go to the front lines when the Lord calls us to the front line. We need to understand that pride is another fox that can spoil the vine. And staying in private worship brings humility. It reminds us that He is the source and the glory belongs to Him. Worship is a key of giving Him back the glory. Anything we do for Him, He's given us the grace to do it. No man comes to the Father except He draws him. We can't even take credit for being in church, for being Christians. We wouldn't even be saved if He hadn't drawn us. Hallelujah. We need to stay in mercy. Hallelujah. Because that's what brings compassion. And a lack of mercy is a fox that spoils the vine. And compassion is something that can keep us away from judging our brother or our sister. And it can also keep that river of love flowing. Keep that river of love flowing. For though they may stumble over and over again, that day is coming. That day is coming. If they stay, if they hang on, where they're going to be set free. And that is our job, is to believe and to trust and to never give up on our brothers and sisters. And we need to stay in equality. God is a diverse God. He didn't make us all alike. And being in unity doesn't mean that we have to all be alike. And we need to understand that when the brethren walk in unity, God brings a commanded blessing. Strife is an enemy to a commanded blessing of the Lord in a home or in a church. But we need to understand unity gives people the freedom to be different and to express themselves differently. Hallelujah. There are different angles of light in a crystal. We all know in part, and the revelations that I have is not the whole truth. It's part. We know in part. And we're to honor people who have a little bit different revelation from us. And we're not accountable for their revelation. We're accountable to walk out the truth that God's given us. Amen. And give people the room for individual expression. Hallelujah. Psalm 102:13 says that there's a set time. There's a set time of the Father's favor to come. I believe there's a set time for His favor to shine on the body of Christ. There's a set time for His favor to shine on this church, because we have a destiny here in this place. We have a calling. And there's a set time of His favor to shine on you and on me. Hallelujah. We're on the verge. We are on the verge of a mighty, mighty, mighty outpouring. And I want to be a part of it. Amen. And there are roadblocks along the way. There's roadblocks along the way that are trying to stop us. One of them is prayerlessness. Praying without the Word of God. Focusing on Him with a heart of worship is how we should pray. Focusing on Him. If we pray with low-level praying, if we pray with our minds on our problems and our offenses and our sicknesses, that's low-level praying. LaRue's teaching us how to pray in that third heaven, and how to have a perspective, and how to surrender to His will, and to call forth His plan and purposes. And that's how we need to pray, with our eyes on Him, with a heart of worship. Another roadblock is holding on to past relationships that just aren't for this season. You know, sometimes things shift. We only have time and energy to carry so many people in our inner circle, because relationships need to be maintained. And, you know, we need to just get out of soul tie pulls and understand our lives belong to God. We've got to just know right now what we are to focus on. And we need to let go of offenses. We need to be quick to forgive. The minute it comes, we need to let it go before it takes root. Because if it takes root, then the hurt comes. If we can learn to let it go right away before the hurt harbors in our heart. But if the hurt does harbor in our heart, it doesn't mean we haven't forgiven, because we can forgive willfully and we can bless. And sometimes it takes time for the pain to go away. But my goal is to get to the point where the pain doesn't take root. Amen? Another roadblock is neglecting our bodies, which brings pain and fatigue. We need to have energy. We need to stay healthy to fulfill our call. And it's important to be good stewards of the bodies that God gave us, especially today. There's more sickness and diseases than there used to be. Hallelujah. Another roadblock is fear. And we need to resist. Fear is our great enemy. And fear blocks faith. It's the opposite of faith. It's the opposite of trust. It brings torment. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Many of us fear anxiety, because anxiety triggers fear. But anxiety is a natural reaction to a stressful situation. Anxiety gives us energy. And what we need to learn is we can use that energy to press forward. We don't have to, the minute we feel anxiety, we cannot allow it to trigger fear. I've learned this recently in Chuck Pierce's new book. Anxiety doesn't mean you're going to have fear. That's in the past, when you couldn't take dominion over your emotions. Anxiety means you're in a situation here that's pretty serious. You better wake up. And you have this extra energy. And if you press into God, he'll show you the way out. I mean, it's good to know if we're in a dangerous situation. Because life is not, always easy. And so anxiety is just, in the past, it could have triggered fear, but it doesn't have to. So we don't need to fear anxiety. Thank you, Jesus. Another roadblock is disobedience. And we talked about that, and it can be in stinginess in our giving, or it can just be in not obeying God. But if you know the love of God, if you really, really, really know the love of God, it's going to be so easy to obey him, even when it doesn't make any sense to the natural mind, because we're not leaning on our natural mind. Our natural mind can't take us where we need to go in these end times. These are the last days, people. We were called to live in the last days. We are more than equipped. We've had more word than probably any generation before us. And even though the dark is getting darker, the glory is getting lighter. There's being more, brighter and brighter. There's being more and more power given for us to overcome. Light and darkness are clashing. Right now, they are clashing. We're getting to a point where there's no in between. When I was a teenager, there was this big gray area, and it was very hard to know right from wrong. But nowadays, it's not anymore. You know, you're either on this side or you're on this side. And we need to run to the light. Amen. Stay in the light. Fellowship with people that are in the light. There's a prophet, a well-known prophet named Mark Barclay, and he has 21 points of prophecy for 2010, and I wanted to read one of them. And he said that God's people are not coming to his house often enough or listening to their pastors clearly enough. Therefore, they are not going home and living it accurately enough. Please receive this warning and listen to your pastor like never before. He went on to say that there's a group of people who think that they don't need the local church. They are not going to make it in these end times. And we are in a local church, but we need to take heed what comes over this pulpit, because God is bringing to us what we need to stay in tune to Him in the upcoming weeks. And we need to take it very seriously, you know, when Pastor Chuck or Pastor Lurie, when they have a new revelation, because God is bringing it forth for a reason. And we need to keep active in our prayer life with fresh encounters, because fresh encounters with Him empowers us to step into the new assignment. It gives us the faith that we need to step into the new assignment. When we're on that cutting edge with God, He wants us to continually be stepping into the new. He doesn't want us to be operating in an arena that we could do it with the blindfolds on because we've done it for so long. He wants us to be stepping into something that we don't know how to do it without leaning on Him. And that's what keeps our relationship alive in Christ. Hallelujah. His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. Every single morning there's new mercies for us. There's brand new mercies. Yesterday does not matter. It does, you know, the struggles we had yesterday. Today we can overcome because His word says we can. Great is His faithfulness to us. We are being changed into His image daily as we stay in a lifetime of prayer. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are changing. So those walls that we hit yesterday, we're not going to always have those problems because we're getting stronger each and every day. And we need to understand that as we behold Him, we are becoming like Him more and more and more. It's like peeling an onion. We never arrive, but we get closer. We get closer. We get closer to the truth. And we need to stay moldable, adaptable, flexible. When we are in our private prayer life, if all we hear from God is ooey-gooey, love you, edification, we're not on the meat yet. When we're on the meat of the Word, He corrects us. God corrects who He loves. Proverbs 3:12. If you are on the milk, the way to get into the meat is to stay in the New Testament. Stay in the New Testament. Stay in the New Testament until He starts correcting you. Then you can go to the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, there's a lot of meat, but it's spiritual meat. We can read and learn about the problems that they had, and they overcame the Old Testament. And there's a lot of symbolism, but you've got to be on the meat of the Word to understand it. Because God wants to come to us each and every day with words of edification, encouragement, and correction. Because none of us have arrived yet. We are in the process. We're in the process of being changed. And we need to understand who He loves. He disciplines. He loves us so much. That's why He's going to correct us. And if you rebuke a scoffer, his heart hardens. But if you rebuke a wise man, he gets wiser. And we need to love correction. We need to get to the point where we love to be rebuked. Because we need to understand, we all have this stinking carnal nature, you know, that needs to change. But it's not the true us. It's not the real image that's going to live for all eternity. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. When we increase in our prayer life, which doesn't necessarily have to mean time, like Pastor Ruth's been teaching, but when we increase in the depth and the height and the experience of our prayer life, we increase in the rest. There's less of us striving. He can just give us the plan, you know, each day to go around the roadblocks and the pitfalls and give us his wisdom how to do situations. The enemy tries to take us out by fatigue. And the more we can stay in his rest, the more prepared and equipped we are to do his work. Hallelujah. And we need to know that we come to him boldly, Hebrews 4:16, to find grace and help in our time of need. As long as we're on this earth, we come to him boldly to find grace and help in our time of need. We have a Father who we can turn to. And the two main grounding truths that have caused me to stay on this path is, you know, a life of forgiveness and to come boldly to the throne of grace when you to find help in time of need. I always knew no matter what I got myself into, even if it was willful sin, I always knew I could run to God. Thank you, Jesus. But some people don't know that, and some people run away from him. But he is always the answer, because it's the enemy that's tripped us up ultimately, and he wants us to turn to him no matter what the situation is. He promises to make a way out, a way of escape. He promises that we shall overcome. And we would not be in this situation unless we were strong enough to deal with it. And I lived in my Christian walk for about 10 years when most of my past memories of trauma were just, they were just not in my consciousness. And I just lived in peace and pressing into God, and it was just glorious. And then the next 10 years, things gradually started surfacing. But they would not have surfaced if I didn't have enough word in me to deal with them. And so I just learned that if this is surfacing, if this traumatic memory is surfacing, then I can deal with it and get rid of it forever. And that's why it's surfacing. Because he wants to get rid of it forever. And so I also went through a time in my first 10 years where I had this false teaching that when you arrive, you're going to have this perfect life on this earth. If you have faith, you're not going to have any problems. You're going to have prosperity. You're going to have divine health. You're going to have supernatural favor. So when I would hit a trial, I would think, oh, I haven't arrived yet. And I would think, my faith isn't strong. And what did I do wrong? I never blamed God, but it still threw me for a loop every single time. And then I learned, when I went through a trial, tribulation, still go through them, who cares why it came? That doesn't really matter. But God is the answer. And if I stay in the Spirit, it is an opportunity for promotion. Because if you respond correctly to your trial and tribulation, God will raise you up and promote you. If you respond wrongly, then you have to go around that mountain again. And so I've learned to quit wasting time. Our goal is to stay on the path of life. And his light is getting brighter and getting brighter and getting brighter each and every day. But as the light gets brighter, then so does the truth, you know, of where we are wrong. But that's not who we are in Christ. That is just our carnal nature. Who we are in Christ, we are already risen, seated with him. We are eternally, forever perfected with him. We already have an eternal home. And that can help us get through understanding, you know, that we all have areas that are open to pride, open to offense, and open to deception. And we want to come into the light more and more and more. And that one thing you're believing for and that one thing you're praying for, you know, it's not God holding it back. You're not ready for it yet, or he would have given it to you. And so the more we can go inside our hearts, the more, you know, transformation we can experience, and the more of his blessings we can come into. Because we're not going to give our 2-year-old the keys to our car. You know, and And many of us have clear words from God, just like Joseph did. And they are real, and we are to contend for them, and we're to believe. They're not going to just happen unless we exercise our faith and work with Him. We have a role in this spiritual transformation walk. It's not, we are not to be passive, but the more open we are to be quick to forgive, to be quick to repent, to be quick to change, to be moldable, to be flexible, to be pliable, the quicker we can go down that path and get to our destiny in Christ. And I pray for the Lord to keep our hunger alive, because it's a hunger that causes us to seek His face and to keep us on fire. We can pray that as we seek His face daily. We can ask Him to keep our hunger alive. We can ask Him to keep that fire alive. Our goal is to be equally yoked with the Lord. You know, all of us are praying for equally yoked mates, whether we're married or single. But the Lord wants an equally yoked mate. He wants us to walk side by side with Him as we're being transformed into His image. Thank you, Lord.